Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name's Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of September 15th, 2016. Our good friend D.R. Tucker will join us next time around. So, something big did or did not happen this past week. I say it either did or didn't happen because it's hard to see when historical events occur because you have no perspective on it. But it's an important event. So here's the background. As you know, there is something, an area, a geological formation up in the Montana, North Dakota, Southern Calgary area known as the Bakken Shale. Bakken Shale is famous because using hydraulic fracking techniques, you can extract oil, so you get oil out of the rocks. And that has been part of the driver for huge amounts of energy investments over the last 5 or 6 years. Anyway, a lot of that oil comes out of the Dakotas on trains and goes one place or another. And I'm sure you're aware of all the train explosions and whatnot that have been happening, occurring with more and more frequency over the years, last few years. Anyway, that's how most of the Bakken Shale oil gets out of the Bakken Shale area. And the people who are in the Bakken Shale business want to build a pipeline. Of course, they want to build a pipeline from somewhere up in North Dakota, down through South Dakota and Iowa, and into Illinois. This pipeline is called the Dakota Access Pipeline. Now, it turns out that that pipeline has to cross the Missouri River, which, of course, is one of the biggest and most sort of historically iconic rivers sort of next to the Mississippi River in the United States. But this pipeline that's going to carry many thousands, I don't have the exact number, many thousands of barrels of oil per day, is going to go underneath the Missouri River. There you go. That's proposed. It turns out that near the crossing of the Missouri River is a Native American reservation peopled by the Standing Rock Sioux Indians, and they have been trying to stop the passage of the Dakota Access Pipeline across the Missouri River because of the threat to their water supply. I guess the Missouri River is the water supply for the entire reservation, and if it gets poisoned by a pipeline break that poisons the Missouri, well, won't be just the Standing Rock Sioux that are in trouble. The whole Missouri River will be, but they are particularly affected. Furthermore, the pipeline crosses what has been found to be a burial area for the Dakota Sioux tribe, for the tribe, and that is a problem. Turns out that the Indians felt that the Army Corps of Engineers, did not do an adequate job of taking their concerns into account when they approved the pipeline. And so the Standing Rock Sioux sued, all right, in a different meaning of the same sounding word. The Sioux sued the pipeline company and ended up in court to try and stop the construction of the pipeline. So there you go. That's a second kind of fact. Over the last few weeks, there's been a growing presence of Native Americans along the pipeline. In fact, that presence has not been just the single tribe, but there have been very many different tribes that have come to the aid of one another. There are environmental groups that have shown up to try to stop this pipeline, peacefully, of course, but to try and stop the pipeline. What happened, I guess, a week ago now, was that a confrontation along the pipeline turned somewhat violent. That is to say, the security guards for the pipeline company brought out the dogs, literally. They had dogs that were trying to clear the area, biting the Native American protesters. Ugly scene. The whole thing was videoed by a woman named Amy Goodman, who works at a website called Democracy Now, where you can see a link in the blog. So there's this confrontation between the police and the security guards and the Indians. Horribly iconic violence. And again, we've talked about this in the last couple of weeks. I mean, here you have dogs that are reminiscent of Bull Connor and the civil rights movement, and the American Indians being basically run roughshod over. Instead of the train, this time it's the pipeline. It's full of resonance, the whole thing. So after this issue with the dogs biting the protesters, very soon after that, the following Friday, there was to be a resolution of the court case, right? So September 9th, the judge was going to rule one way or the other on the Native Americans' petition to stop the pipeline, okay? So Friday afternoon, the judge rules, and his ruling is a disappointment to the tribe. The judge says, even though I don't think that the process was very fair, the Army Corps of Engineers followed the letter of the law, so the whole thing can go forward, and we ought to do better by the Indians next time, but it's not in the cards for this case, which of course was a very disappointing thing. But within minutes, on the same Friday afternoon, almost one might think as a pre-planned, or at least a contingency plan, the Obama administration and the personage of the Department of Justice, the Department of the Interior, and the Corps of Engineers all decided that they were going to stop and withdraw the permission for the pipeline on federally owned lands. There's about 20 miles of federally owned land, but basically that puts the whole project in cahoots. The Corps of Engineers was going to re-examine the whole thing. The Department of Justice talked about how going forward the rights of Indigenous Americans, Native Americans, had to be better included in the process, which then was a cause for rejoicing. Really is. I mean, it's the Dakota Access Pipeline is basically dead in the water right now. Let me just say parenthetically that two other things happened between the dog biting incident and the judge's ruling. Presidential candidate Jill Stein went there and spray painted some graffiti on one of the bulldozers and was arrested for vandalism. But perhaps more interestingly, Amy Goodman, who was videotaping the protest with the dogs, there was an arrest warrant issued for her for trespassing and misdemeanor. So the long and short of it is that the grassroots effort of the assorted Native American tribes allied with a lot of environmental groups. Of course, the enviros see the pipeline as a global warming issue. Those two groups triumphed with the help of the federal government, and that the pipeline is stopped. So that's the big thing that did or did not happen. And, of course, there's tons and tons of things to unpack here, right? I mean, I'm not sure we can even get through them all, but let's take a try at it in no particular order of importance, right? I mean, first off, let's just consider the most dramatic thing, which was the federal action Friday afternoon after the judge had ruled against the pipeline. The Fed stepped in and said, thank you very much, Judge, but we're going to shut this whole thing down on our own authority. That's great. I mean, it is a show of support for the rights of Native Americans, which God knows the United States has not shown a lot of support for that over the years, over the decades. But more importantly, this kind of thing puts a real chill on the oil industry, right? Because now those guys in the back in shale still have to find ways to get the oil out of there. They can't find enough trains. And it basically puts them under a lot of pressure. Of course, they declare that they're going to build a pipeline anyway. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But this increases the pressure, will probably increase the amount of trains carrying this explosive oil out of North Dakota. Of course, this burnishes Obama's legacy, right? His action, Department of Justice did not act on its own. The president should take credit for this work, and it all falls in line with the whole concept of keeping the fossil fuels in the ground, right? That's a famous now Bill McKibben meme. So the federal action all by itself has significant consequences far beyond the specific instance of this pipeline, right? The federal government has stopped the pipeline and wants to have a higher degree of review for future pipelines. So that's one thing to unpack. Second thing to unpack is just the whole interesting social dynamic of the alliances of the different tribes. Of course, I'm no expert on any of this, but apparently there was sort of an unprecedented coming together of different Native American groups to oppose this, because they all saw that they stood more firmly together than apart. That's a new thing in the world, I think. Additionally, a new thing in the world is this rather conscious alliance between the environmental groups and the Native Americans, indigenous people, right? That's a new thing also. It's been there kind of in development for a while, but finally we see it come to fruition. Of course, the difference here is that the enviros see the pipeline as a oil infrastructure that we don't want, right? Fossil fuel infrastructure that we don't need. The Native American part of it sees this as a threat to their water, right? A lot of the Twitter memes are, water is life kind of thing. And a violation of their tribal rights, and in fact, their sacred burial grounds. It's a powerful thing, and we'll be interested to see how this evolves in the future. Another interesting thing to unpack about this whole episode is kind of the tenor of the response of the authorities near the pipeline. I mean, I've seen pictures now of National Guardsmen, I think, with assault weapons guarding this pipeline from the poor Indians on their horses. If Indians is around, Native Americans on their, this incredibly unequal display of power. You have the dogs attacking the protesters. Rebecca Solnit reports that there were roadblocks to keep people out of the area, right? She had to take some long way around even to get to the site of the protest. And these guys have gone out and they're trying to arrest Amy Goodman, basically threatening the journalist to keep this whole thing quiet. So it really shows you that in that part of the world, they're playing for keeps. It's great. Many environmentalists are proud of being arrested in front of the White House. But if you get arrested in front of the White House, everyone knows you're going to go to the clink for a few hours, and they're going to get released. If you're out in the middle of the prairie and the other guys have assault weapons, it's a wholly different story, much more scary. So you have to consider the nature of the confrontation there. Another aspect which is critical to this whole thing, and I think really quite profoundly important from a climate perspective, is the whole concept of water, right? The Great Plains out there, they're fairly dry places, arid, right? Water is precious. The water supply for the Standing Rock Sioux is the Missouri River. Turns out there was, again, some article I read saying that the place they're talking about where the pipeline crosses the Missouri River is the confluence of something called the Cannonball River and the Missouri River. And I guess originally it was called the Cannonball River because the currents were so high that stones would get thrown out of the water as if they were cannonballs. So the pioneers called it the Cannonball River because of the violence of the flow, basically throwing stones out of the river. Well, in 1958, the Corps of Engineers dammed the river upstream of the Indian tribe. So now this thing, What used to be the Cannonball River is now kind of a slow-moving, muddy lake, but that's the water supply. In the future, as climate change continues to come upon us, water will become more and more precious. I mean, we talked recently about the article in the New York Times about sea level rise. I mean, that will affect available drinking water when the aquifers get poisoned. We've just gone through, or are still in the midst of, an incredibly long and severe drought in California, which has to be exacerbated by climate change. And from an environmental justice perspective, we just went through the Flint, or we're still in the middle of the Flint, Michigan episode, where there is no fresh water because of the choices of the government. So water and climate change, you know, even though the enviros see the Dakota Access Pipeline more as a infrastructure project and the Native Americans see it as a water project, I think the Native Americans are more correct in the sense that water is life. And once we lose the water, it's a very bad deal. So, I mean, that's four things, four different aspects of this to think about. And it's kind of a new thing in the world, as we say, this whole episode. You have to ask yourself, is this some kind of turning point? Is it something new? Is it just one more step in a progression? I don't know. It's hard to tell. As you say, you can't really see a historical milestone up close because we haven't departed from it far enough to see that it's changed directions. But it certainly seems like an interesting, the whole exercise has been a fascinating exercise in not knowing what's coming next. And I think it also is a testimony to the bravery of the people who stood against the pipeline and an example to the rest of us to prepare to stand against what seemed to be unstoppable forces. And we'd be surprised at how stoppable they are, I guess. So anyway, we'll leave it there. What I'll do is I'll put up links to most of what we said, most of what I talked about at the blog. It's massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find us on Facebook at /massclimateaction. You can listen to us on your cell phone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. You can find us on iTunes all the time. So we'll close where we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it is our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. So thanks to everyone for listening. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.